God speaks to the souls of his faithful ones in their despondency. Is that an encouraging line? It's just the word of a man. It's not scripture. But he's a trusted commentator. Elijah takes a nap. Have you ever heard that instruction from the pulpit ever before? If it's a really bad day, maybe you need to take a nap. Has anybody had an improved disposition after a little bit of rest? You know, just a sip of water, just chill out, maybe a nap. Because it worked for Elijah. He actually sleeps for a good long time. Then an angel brings food. He wakes up and there's food there. And the scripture says it was an angel. And he eats. And then he falls asleep again. And then he eats again. And then he travels 40 days and nights further. And do you know what happens when he gets where he gets and he's hanging out and he's in a cave and he's like depressed and despondent, sleeping and getting up and sleeping again? Is there room in the scripture for depression? Is that something that we just don't believe in and, oh, depression's not a real thing, go on, pull yourself together? That's not true. And the scripture does not say that. This guy Elijah, in his low, low point, God's ministering to him. Someone comes alongside of him with some food, and then he sleeps some more. And then he eats some more. And then he runs further, right? And what does God say to him when he gets where he gets? God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Do you think God knows what he's doing there? Of course he does. Do you think that what you're suffering through in your life, God doesn't know about it? Of course he does. And when he runs and when he runs and when he runs and he says, kill me now. Oh, God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? How did it come to this, son? Right? And then we read what's quoted in Romans chapter 11. Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Oh, God, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Has anybody ever said that? What is it coming to now? Look at the leaders we got. Look at the rules that they're passing. Look at the things they're saying are true. Do you not go through that in this life? You do. I know you do. And so here he is, and God says this in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 11. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. Now, I want to stop there and tell you, do you know your Plato? Anybody read philosophy? And Plato said about being in a cave, and there are beings passing by on the outside of the cave, but we stand in the cave and we look at the back wall of the cave at the reflections of those who are passing past the light at the entrance of the cave. This is Platonic reasoning. This is the kind of stuff that was already sort of in place by the time we're reading the New Testament, right? But God has a different picture than Plato. We're not fumbling around in the dark. And we're not groping around for pieces of imaginary meaning. This says Elijah stood at the entrance of the cave when he heard God speak in a still small voice. He doesn't need fanfare, and he doesn't need show, and he doesn't need marketing. He doesn't need for a new sign on the front of the church, and he doesn't need a better band, and he's not looking for bells and whistles, okay? Still small voice, and Elijah goes to the entrance of the cave in verse 13, and behold, there came a voice to him, and it said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. The people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They don't go to church anymore. And they've killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." The church has shrunk down to just one guy, Lord. And the Lord said to him, "Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria," which has nothing to do with Israel, "and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha," speaking to Elijah, he says, "and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death." And God finishes with the line quoted in Romans 11, verse 4. What's God's reply to him? Paul says, "I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal." And Paul says, "So at the present time, just like the time of Elijah, chosen by grace, there is a remnant. But if it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace."